The following shiur has been presented by Dayan Yohannesen David Hul, Dayan for the Beis Avad in Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Avad Halacha Center.
Maseches Ksubas Daf Samach Tes. We'll start today with a very interesting shaila that came to the Maharsham in the Chelik Gimel Siman Kuf Ein Aleph. He was asked about a certain kehillah where the shochet, the new shochet, who was the son-in-law of the previous shochet who passed away, became the shochet for the kehillah, and he gave a donation of 200 rubles to the kehillah. But he made a stipulation. This money should only be used to expand the Ezra's Noshim of the shul, which was somewhat limited, and there wasn't much room for anybody, and he donated money in order to expand the Ezra's Noshim. Now, he knew that the Kehillah were in debt for various reasons, and he was concerned that this money should not be used to pay off the debts. So he said, he stipulated two or three times that at the time when he gave the money, he said this is a donation to the Kehillah, but it should only be used not to pay off the debts, but to expand the Ezra's Noshim. Now, the Kehillah were in debt, and they wanted use the money to pay off the debts. So the person who asked the Maharsham says that there's a shaila about what happens when someone gives money to somebody else and says, I'm giving it amanos that your Baal Chod can't take away this money. Does that work or not? And our bottom line is, our halacha seems to be, that it depends whether the person gave the money b'mecha or he gave it b'matona. If he gave it b'matona, he can stipulate that this money is given b'matona and you're not allowed to be able to use it for anything else, and a Baal Chod can't even come to take the money from it. It won't be meshuvah to the Baal Chayv. That works if it's given as matan. However, if it's given as a mecher, for example, someone bought something, he can't stipulate that it shouldn't be meshuvah to the Baal Chayv. And the reason for that is that the money which the person who bought it had was already meshuvah to the Baal Chayv. So the fact that he now bought something simply exchanges the money for the goods. So the person who's now giving the goods can't stipulate meshuvah to the Baal Chayv, but to the Baal Chayv, because the goods are being exchanged for the money which was meshuvah to the Baal Chayv. So therefore, the shoyl to the Maharsham wanted to say that the chayv, since this was a donation, on the one hand, he can stipulate it shouldn't be given away. On the other hand, to the shoyl, maybe it should be considered like a mecher. It wasn't a straightforward donation. The shochet gave the money in order to secure for himself the job as the kehillah shochet. In that case, it's like a mecher. If it's like a mecher, then he can't stipulate that the money shouldn't be used for something else. On the other hand, the reason why a mecher can't be used to stipulate it shouldn't be used for something else, as we said, because the goods are exchanged for the money. But in this case, although it's like a mecher, that's why it would not apply, because obviously the kehillah weren't giving anything to the shochet that was actually something which was meshuvah to the Baal Chayv. And therefore, maybe in this case, it would be like a matana. So, said the shoyl, was mafalpan with these halachas. Says the Maharsham, number one, I don't think that this case is like a mecher, it's like a matana. Because in fact, since the shochet was actually the son-in-law of the previous shochet, and he was up to the job, the halacha would allow him to take over the post, unless there was a special reason not to. He yarshins the post, he inherits the post, so to speak, as the shochet of the town. And therefore he didn't really need to give the money, and therefore it wasn't considered as a mecher, but rather as a matana, the money he gave to the shul as a donation. If it was a donation, the chari, he can stipulate that it should not be meshuvah to the Baal Chayv, and therefore the kehillah cannot use the money to pay off the Baal Chayv. Says the Maharsham, nonetheless, I think that in this case the kehillah can use the money to pay off the Baal Chayv. And the idea that he uses, he says, learns from our sugya, our Gemara, our Mishnah, in Ksubas Daf Samach Tes of the base. The Mishnah says, Hamash Nish Mois Levitei, someone who gives money to a sholish, to a trustee, and he says, buy some land for my daughter. The Eoneris, and she says to the trustee, Nevon Olai Bali, you know what, don't buy the land and give it to me. Give the money straight to my husband. I trust my husband that he'll buy land and you can give it straight to him. So what do you do? So the Machlokes of the mayor says, Yathar Sholish Mashahushlish Beyodai. The mayor says, no, the trustee should carry out the instructions she was given. He should first buy the land and then give it to the daughter. What she does with it afterwards is her business. However, Rabbi Yoshi says, V'chi Eino El Asodah, who wrote to the Mochra, Harim Mochura Me'achshav. What if it was the field itself, and he would give it to her, and she would sell it, Says Rashi, Vichimata is no likeness. What's the point in buying the field and giving it to her? She'll just go ahead and sell the same field and give the money to her husband anyway. And therefore, since it's going to come back to square one, you might as well just listen to what she's got to say and give the money straight to the husband. So the Maharsham seems to learn from here, from Rabbi Yossi, that we can apply the same sfora here. The man, the sheikh had donated money to the shul, they should only be used for the Ezra's Noshim, to expand the Ezra's Noshim, not to be used to pay off the chayv. So the Maharsham, what's going to happen? We'll use his money to expand the Ezra's Noshim, okay, now we'll have a bigger shul, we still owe money, so we're going to have to sell off the shul, use the money to pay off the Baal chayv, and we're back to square one. In effect, we'll have used the donor's money to pay off the chayv anyway, even if we carry out his instructions. So as such, there's no point carrying out his instructions. We might as well just ignore him and give the money straight to the Baal Chayv, since in effect that's what's going to happen anyway. So although he's right, he can insist that the money not be used for the Baal Chayv, but to be used to expand Ezra's Noshim, since the end result will be anyway that the money will end up by the Baal Chayv, we might as well give it straight to the Baal Chayv in this situation. Now, there's a machlokes in the Gemara where the halachas like Rav Meir Rav Yossi, Rav Nachman Paskins, like Rav Meir, and that's Halach, we follow Rav Nachman, Halach is like Rav Meir. Says the Maharsham, nonetheless Rav Yossi's Sfarah still applies, and Rav Meir actually agrees to the Sfarah of Rav Yossi in the case of the Nesuah. As we see in the Gemara narrows down the Machlokes. The Gemara says that all we're talking about when the girl, the daughter, is an Arusa. She's the first stage of marriage, but not got to the stage of Nesuah yet. Under such circumstances, Rav Meir says, that you should, the Sholish, the trustee, should buy the field and give it to her. And the Yossi says, don't bother, just give the money straight to her Orus, to her husband. However, if she goes ahead and actually gets married and does Nisuin, then if Rav Meir would agree that you can give the money straight to her husband, as she says. Says Rav Maharsham, so even Rav Meir does agree to the Sfarah of Rav Yossi, he just doesn't agree to it in the case of Arusa, but agrees in the case when she's already in a Sura. So says the Maharsham. And based on that, he says, Lachrol, we would allow him to, the Kehillah, to go ahead and give the money straight to the Baal Chayv. In a similar tshuva, more contemporary of dying here in Yerushalayim, of Moshe Uri Eisenstein, he was asked about a case when a person had donated money to build an institution, a shul or a moshav, and they put a plaque up under his memory, and he was the one who donated the money, and he insisted that no other plaque should be put up. At a later stage, some years later, the shul was already full and they needed to expand and build an extra wing. They had another donor, but he wanted to put his name up. So the shaila was, can we ignore the wishes of the first person who gave donated money on the understanding that only his name would be on the shul? So Rav Eisenstein has various different sforas to allow it. Primarily, he says, we're building an extra wing. On that extra wing, we can put up the name of the new donor. That's not excluded from the condition of the original person. He can't stop you from, if you're building extra wing, from putting up someone else's name on that. But he also seems to come onto this far as well. And he says, what will happen if we don't use the second donor's money to build the new wing? There's not enough room in the shul, so we're going to have to sell off the old shul, knock it down, and then rebuild a new shul with a brand new wing. And then, once we rebuild the new shul, we're no longer obliged to put the first donor's name up on the building. So the effect, the end result will be that even if we carry out the wishes of the first person, the end result will be his name won't appear there at all. And therefore, we might as well miss out the middle stage and go to the final stage and put up this other person's name, at least on the new wing. So he paskin based on the same concept that the Maharsham comes up with. Now again, the Maharsham says that as far as mentioned in Rabbi Yossi, and although that looks like Rameh grieves by Nesua. The Maharsham says, look carefully in our sugya, lechura, it's not necessarily the case that we can learn it from Rameh, because Rameh, according to Rashi, explains that when in Nesua, the reason why we give the money straight to the husband is for a different reason altogether. We're talking about when the father gave the money to the trustee, to the Sholish, when she was an Arusa, and he said, buy her a field, and then subsequently she became an Asura. Then Romeo agrees that if she's now an Asura, you can give the money directly to the husband if she directs you to do so. And the idea is that the husband was concerned, the father was concerned, he wanted to make sure that his daughter, when she was came into the marriage, when she became an Asura, that she had a field. And therefore a man said, don't give her the money to her Orus, even if she says so. Rather, buy the field, carry out the instructions of the father. However, if she's meanwhile gone ahead and got married, then we might as well give it to the husband, because the father will not have minded. In other words, even the father agrees that once she's married, she can do with it whatever she wants, and therefore, if she's got married before you've managed to buy the field, you might as well give the money straight to the husband if she directs you to do so. So Rav Meir does not agree with the svara of Rav Yossi in the case of the Nesu'ah. Rav Meir has a different reason why I allow the Sholish to give the money directly to the Nesu'ah, because that is the intention of the Sholish. It's not that that even were we to carry out the intention of the Sholish, the same result would come. In this case, it is the intention of the father that only give it to her. She's saying, well, so once she's got married, you might as well give it to her directly. So Rav Meir doesn't in fact agree with the svara of Yossi. He agrees in the cases of when she goes ahead and becomes a Nesu'ah, then even the father's instructions we interpret to mean give it straight to the husband as she so desires. And based on that, coming on a number of Peskin, the Pnei Yeshua suggested, the Marash Dam says, Alok and Amaisa, that based on this Rashi, if the father would have given the instruction when she was already a Nesu'ah, then he gave the money to the Sholish, to the trustee, and he said, buy a field and give it to her, then we don't have this problem that the father presumably wanted after Nisun to give the money straight to the husband. Because it was after Nisun when he gave the money to the trustee, and he still said, give it only as a buy a field and give it to the daughter. Therefore, in such a case, we would not be able to give it straight to the husband, even if the daughter said so. We would first buy the field and give that to the daughter, and then she can do whatever she wants. So, if that's the case, on the contrary, we see that if we pass it our way, we don't hold it as far as Rabbi at all. In the case of the Arusa, we don't hold of it at all, and if the father said it after Nisun, we also don't hold of it. The only reason why we give it to the husband if the daughter says so after Nisun is if the father only stipulated it during Erusin, we understand that the father wouldn't have minded if he did it after Nisun. And if that's the case, the Chayyim wouldn't have any riots in the case of the Marasham, that even if it would come out afterwards, that the Kehillah would end up paying off the Chayyim anyway, that we would be able to ignore the wishes of the Shochet who donated the money on the Nos, that it shouldn't be used for a chayv. And the Chora, the Sfora, is Poshut. Although it seems to be, Rav Yossi's Sfora seems to be that anyway it's going to end up the same thing, Rav Meir would disagree with that, because Rav Meir would hold, who says if anyway it's going to end up? For example, in the case of the Arusa, even if she says, give the money directly to my husband, says Rav Yossi, well, if you buy her a field and give it to her, she's going to sell it anyway and then give the money to her husband. Well, maybe not. Maybe once you buy the field, she sees the field, she might decide to keep hold of it. Maybe she will get divorced from the Arus. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. You can't assume that it's automatically going to happen anyway. And similarly, in the Marasham's case, the man, the Sheikh, donated the money on condition that the money shouldn't be used to pay off the Baal Chayv. What says the Marasham? Well, so you're going to extend the Yeses Noshim, sell that and pay off the Baal Chayv. Well, maybe not. By the time you've extended the Yeses Noshim, maybe even more people will join the community. Maybe you'll find funds elsewhere to be able to pay off the Chayv. It's not inevitable. And therefore it's very possible. That's why Romeo doesn't necessarily hold as far. Romeo says the trustee is willing to carry out the instructions he was given, even though it would seem that inevitably it won't make a difference, since it possibly might make a difference, he should still carry out the instructions. In Rav Eisenstein's case, though, the Chayyim would agree, but not necessarily for the same reason. In his case, it's debatable whether the first donor can make a stipulation that nobody else should put up a sign. In the case of the Marasham, where the Sheikh donated money and said it shouldn't be used for any other purpose, we find such halacha. You can give money on the nos, and it shouldn't be the shul to somebody else. But if you give money on the nos to build a shul, and they build a shul and he wants to put his name up, to say that no one else is allowed to put their name up is not doesn't necessarily follow that the original donor wanted that, and even if he stipulated it, it would be debatable whether he's able to do that. Certainly when it comes to extensions, building new wings and things like that, the original donor, the Chora, has no right to say that no one else's name should appear on any other part of the building which is built after that. And certainly if he didn't stipulate it, we would assume that he would agree that extensions that were made and improvements that were made certainly would be allowed to have someone else's name put on it. Halacha l'maaseh, these shailos are quite common. Very often you find that someone donates money to start the building, the shul, builds a temporary premises, he's the nachshon min haminadav, so to speak. to set up the shul or the yeshiva or the school or whatever it should be. And then some years later, the community raises funds to build a more permanent structure or to expand and make a much larger structure. Very often, the original donor or his heirs come along and say that they insist that his name should still be on the building, whereas the community come along with a time that other people want to donate money in order to build the building. When they get them to donate, we put their name on the building. And usually the basin tries to come to some type of settlement whereby the new donor's name will appear on the new building. The old donor's name will be still left on a plaque in a prominent place, usually by the entrance, which commemorates the fact that this first donor was the one who set up the institution in the first place, but not to disallow anybody else from donating money in order to expand the facilities if necessary, if they insist that their name should also appear on the premises.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.